Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Everybody, this is Again With Us, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 16, Unnecessary Roughness. And now here's your host, me! I fired everybody else because they're jerks. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Again With Us with your host, Dave. All right, today on Beverly Hills, Brandon says a lot of things about things he doesn't know about. Kelly's a bitch about it, and Donna has weird breasts. Okay, next week.
Hi.
I mean, you're surprisingly right about a lot of this. Hi, Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Tara, and my former boss, I guess, Dave. Do we still work here?
Shall we proceed with unnecessary roughness?
Oh, do we have to? I was hoping Dave was serious about our being fired. Okay, let's get it over with. Yay, sport things.
Starting with our C plot, Super Bowl stuff. Remember Dick? He's back, and he and Steve are engaging in some kind of business venture that they're hashing out. Where else? The beach bit. It's Super Bowl weekend, and as I suspected, the only reason this is a storyline and one in which they actually get to use the phrase Super Bowl is that not only did Fox air the Super Bowl that year, but it was the first time Fox aired it ever. I looked it up. Here's how this affects Steve and Dick. They've got a line on football t-shirts from France. They're going to mark them up and sell them on campus at the Peach Pit After Dark pre-Super Bowl party, and all the profits are going to Project Literacy. Not even Claire can get mad at this scheme because literacy. And speaking of the Peach Pit After Dark party, Val is grossed out by how cheap all the decorations look, but David and Tom are now best bros forever, apparently, and have collaborated on this one and promised to keep it classy and not turn the place into a sports bra. Sports bra? No. Sports bar. Please play clip 2.
What, no pom-pom girls?
Pom-pom girls. I totally forgot. You want to write that down?
All right, I'll get it.
It was actually a decent bit of stuff. From Tom, no less.
His I know.
Yeah, I got it. It was like, oh, you're here. Okay.
Yeah.
As good as it gets in this episode, I'm afraid.
I admire the way he just throws it away, considering he's not a good actor, as we keep saying.
Yeah.
Val leaves them to it, bitterly, because she hates football. Claire and Donna have no interest in anything Super Bowl. Claire suggests that they have a girls' night instead. We'll get back to that. Val enters her office to see it's covered in Tom and David's Chinese food trash. Tom comes in as she's picking it up and says he has some shirts that need ironing instead. Oh, God, sorry. Instead of, oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm such an asshole, which he should for leaving a mess in her office. He only apologizes after she asks why they couldn't just eat at the Peach Pit. Good point. It's free. And then she wants to fuck, so she forgives him way faster than I personally care to see. But things quickly turn sour again. Clip 3.
We've got this gig to pull off at the Super Bowl party, you know?
That's it? This like, is why you turned down Val? Are you stupid?
Also, it takes 5 minutes. Like, just fuck her and then put up more crepe paper. How hard is that? Apparently not hard enough.
Oh! And when Steve is all set up to sell shirts for the fundraiser, things aren't great. Clip 4.
No shirts, no dick.
No comment.
Thanks for the tip, Dick.
Claire assumes that Dick got lost downtown picking up the shirts, which he did. And when they open the box, there's soccer shirts. And Claire has to remind them that the word football means soccer in virtually every other country on Earth. Also, just a reminder, Dick was supposed to be a brainiac like Claire, so he should have known that. This is a very Steve mistake to make, but Steve is mad that Dick didn't check the box before coming back with it. Dick says Steve is the one who ordered them from a company called Football International, and Claire gets the last word, clip five.
Project Literacy, look into it.
Yeah,
cute.
Do that. Take Brandon with you.
Okay, I take back everything I have said about football being stupid. It's all worth it for this scene of Steve in a pince-nez, like a kindly old cobbler, sewing brown felt American footballs over the soccer balls on their European shirts. It is seriously the greatest thing. I was so charmed by this. Sarah, what did you think?
It was adorable. I love that it was like, yeah, you know, I was so bored. His explanation for how he knows how to do this is that he would be on the set of Hartley House and he would be bored. So he like spent more time with the wardrobe mistress than he did with his own mom. Mm-hmm. And so this is how he learned to do it. But then the whole fraternity is there with the shirts in embroidery hoops.
Yes.
On the Walsh couch, including Munz, who just looks like baffled, but not in a like angry way. It's, yes. I mean, it's very charming. And the glasses are adorable.
It's hilarious. It's a full sewing bee of frat guys. It's one of Steve's cutest moments ever. Clip six.
We're going to take the football patch. We're going to put it over the soccer ball and attach it with a simple hem stitch. But listen to me carefully. In, over, up, and through.
Steve is teaching sewing lessons. It's very cute.
I don't think we ever see this again, but I hope we do. It's very cute.
Yes, you can see lots of pictures of this in the visual aid. So with a party in full swing, Tom can't find the key to the storage room where the extra glasses are. David wants to prove that they don't need Val, but even the plastic cups are in there, and David is too much of an idiot to be allowed his own keys, apparently, so he has to then call Val. Steve and Dick show up and deploy some sexy ladies to sell the shirts. But elsewhere at the girls' night, Claire suggested, it turns out to be a male strip show, and Donna acts all scandalized by this like they didn't already have strippers at Tony's bachelorette party. Rest in peace. But whatever stuff. There are gifs and pics of this in the visual aids that you can see. Judging by their hats and accents, I assume this is the 1997 traveling company of Thunder from Down Under, which confirms it's confirmed when they go outside and we see the poster, which is like an off-brand version of it. There's some more stuff when two weirdos in the club offer the girls a private show. I think this was supposed to be a reference to the Night at the Roxbury guys that Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan were doing on SNL around this time. Maybe,
I guess, it was so weird.
It was if not, it was a total non sequitur that goes nowhere.
Yeah. And then everyone's like heeing about it, despite the fact that they've brought Donna to this club to take her mind off her stalker. But okay,
we'll get back to that. As they leave, Donna says she wants to make an appearance at David's party, and Claire and Kelly are both no, but they go. And Val has to go to the club and do all kinds of logistical stuff Tom and David don't know how to do. And David is grateful for her help in his usual harried, put upon way. But she already acknowledged to Tom that the party was a good idea that made a lot of money, so she stays to pitch in. But we see a sign of trouble to come when Kelly meets Tom for the first time, and they seem to be into each other, so watch that space, I guess. The day after the party, Val brings David into the office to show her their new partner's desk. She proposes that they agree to disagree and clean up their own messes. I'll believe it when I see it, in terms of the messes, by the way. And obviously, this is how the t-shirt saga ends. Clip seven.
Ned, I'm telling you, it's the last one. It's the last one, and it's your size. Look, extra special. Only $15.
I got mine for 12, Nat.
Kelly.
I'll give you 10. I'll throw in breakfast.
Side of sausage?
Oh, you pain.
Sold.
Okay.
Really?
The proceeds are going to charity, so haggling over the price is a little gauche.
Yeah. Also, you're going to get the side of sausage and the breakfast for free anyway, so just stick to the t-shirt topic, maybe.
Yep. And that's it for the Super Bowl. Moving on to our B plot, Brandon and Tracy are boring on a ranch. As we have already heard in a previous episode, Tracy comes from farm stock, and now those poor people who've already lived through so many hard times due to pitiless nature have to suffer through another meeting Brandon, except not really. Her parents aren't even going to be there because I guess they could only afford to pay one extra day player this week.
When yeah, they pull in, except, I mean, I don't know. Like, the every time Sam comes in and is like, your mayor this, your mayor that, it's like, there's no one else who works here. It's a ranch.
Yeah.
Do you just call her every time the mayor is colicky and she drives up? And will we also be seeing 88 minutes of B-roll of that? Because nobody cares.
Yeah. So, yes, the only person there, as Sarah says, is this guy, Sam, who we think is a ranch hand, except there's more to it. And we later are also going to find out that he's a veterinary student. So, like, why Tracy has to be involved in any problems with her mayor, spoiler alert, is, you know, not clear to me. Whatever. Sam immediately lets Brandon know how shit is in clip 8.
Your mom said to tell you she fixed up your room. In the guest room, I guess.
Love that, Mom.
Listen, my folks would love to see you. Why not run you over there for a quick visit?
Well, maybe later.
Okay. Oh, there's one other thing. Your mayor, Leah, I think she's coming down with colic. She was in a sweat and agitated. I got her cooling down in the barn.
Oh, thanks. Come on, let's go check on Leah.
Old boyfriend, huh?
How'd you know?
Wild guess.
All right, without getting into it, I will just add that their concept of how colic works in horses is not correct. Really on any point, and I'm not going to get into it. I'm just going to say they couldn't even bother to do that correctly. So good job.
So when they've escaped Sam, who like Larry in the last episode is way hotter than any of the guys in the regular cast of the show at the moment, by the way, and Tom for that matter, it's been a good season for guest star guys. Even Mark did not displease me other than his hair, I have to say.
Yeah, no, same.
Anyway, when they've escaped Sam, Brandon pushes Tracy on a swing and tells a dumb story about some girl he pushed on a swing when they were kids that is not at all noteworthy, except clip 9.
I had her convinced I was a secret agent.
No.
Yeah. Special Agent Brandon Walsh of the Extraterrestrial Task Force.
Task Force! No! Not even as a joke do I want to hear Brandon talk about a task force again.
Oh my God. Was touchdown at the foundation because don't really want to hear any more about that either.
No. In case you were wondering, he always sucked. Brandon manages to say the phrase task force again just before he starts making out with Tracy against a tree like he thinks this is actually a hotline, and she's just suggested that they go back to the house when Sam rolls up to tell her mare is dying or something and that she should probably bed down in the stable tonight. Brandon Walsh cucked by a horse. Anyway, apparently he's a third-year vet student, so he knows what he's talking about. And this is where Tracy says that before she left for college, Sam had asked her to marry him. And Brandon is like, and like, well, are they married? Anyway, she said no, that she has no regrets. The next morning, the couple is reunited for breakfast. She wishes Brandon could have slept on the hay bed with her. He could have. But anyway, he wants to fuck now. But she has chores and refuses to let him help. Probably because he doesn't know what she's doing, but he insists he's learned from TV. So she allows it. And for some reason, Brandon decides to have a penis contest with Sam while moving bales of hay around. And he's really in fine form in clip 10.
What are your intentions toward Tracy? Could you be a little more direct, Sam? Do you love her?
I like her a lot, okay?
That's all?
No. I also admire her, respect her, and enjoy her company. Is that good enough for you? What, you find that amusing?
Yeah, I do. Those are the exact same words Tracy said to me before she left.
So what are you sticking around for, Sam? You a glutton for punishment?
Look, why don't you give Tracy and me a little time alone? Just to see where we stand.
Sorry, I can't do that.
Why not?
Because you had your time, Sam. This is our time now. And this interrogation is over.
What?
Oh, okay.
I don't.
And
I mean, I
also,
guess that's...
He's Go looming ahead. Over Sam, and he has to be standing on like 5 hay bales to do it.
Right. But like, why are you giving this guy tone? You know, like, granted, Sam is being kind of hostile, but like, he's just asking, whatever, who cares? Tracy makes Brandon a whole fancy meal in front of the fireplace and he just wants to ignore it and fuck. But then Sam comes in to say the mayor's in trouble and apparently they get her through it. She's no longer impacted. Tracy just has to keep her hydrated. Apparently this is all incorrect, but maybe Sam was the one who backed her up in the first place. Cause now that the danger has
sort of sounded right, but it's like, I don't know. Okay. Like, but why not just make it something else that can't be checked or like write it properly? I don't know. Whatever.
Right. This was before Google, Sarah. Come on. Someone would have had to go to the library. anyway, now that the danger has passed, I guess Sam just wants them to get back together. Brandon walks up and eavesdrops on the end of the conversation as Tracy says no because she's changed and Sam hasn't. Sam can't believe Tracy is serious about Brandon. Like, neither can we. But she says she is. And furthermore, clip 11.
I wish that you would stop being so hard-headed and judgmental and just get on with the rest of your life. I do want what's best for you.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at it.
How are we doing in here, guys?
Bray.
Really?
Yeah. Eavesdropping like a Camden. Anyway, Sam leaves and Brandon tells Tracy she can't blame the guy for trying. He would. And you think that's the end of it, but then Brandon has to later ask why Sam and Tracy broke up, and the answer is basically that they grew apart. They start making out, but Brandon stops, since that's usually the point when Sam comes in, but Tracy says she locked the door, so poor Leah the mayor is going to have to listen to them fuck on some hay. Here's some banter the next morning about what they were thinking when they finally boned down. Clip 12.
I couldn't help wondering, did I leave the stove on?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, it's your turn.
Okay, I remember thinking, all good things come to those who wait. Are we okay here?
Just don't make me regret this, Brandon.
Okay, he says, all the good things come to those who wait, like he's the one who's waiting and she wasn't the one throwing herself at him while he kept rejecting her. It's like, what?
Yeah, and then, but then his tone implies that the good thing that came to her for waiting was him.
That's like, what I mean. Like, it's weird. It's weird of him to say that under the circumstances. I mean, it's not because it's him, but it's
and
weird.
Also, like, don't make me regret this, Brandon. Like, how are you not regretting it already? How have you not been regretting it all along and then running back to Sam, who actually is a full-size human who can drive a car without sitting on a phone book?
Speaking of Sam, as he and Tracy are getting ready to leave, there are some manly goodbyes in clip 13.
Think she's going to be up and around, Sam?
Oh, sure. She's a spirited gal. Like some people we know. Treat her right. You hear?
I will. Take care, man.
You too.
These he two won't. Have contempt for each other, but they're both dudes, so I guess they have to shake on it, even though they were hostile all weekend. Whatever.
Yeah, well, and it was Tracy's idea, too, that she's like, you should go sit. He's like, I'm actually going to miss Sam. And Tracy's like, go tell him that. And I'm like, is this actually happening? We do not need this scene. We don't. At all.
Yeah,
but it's better than many of the scenes in our A plot.
Indeed. Our A plot, Donna's got a stalker. So Donna forces Kelly and Claire to watch a videotape of her weather segment, and they both look super psyched about it, as you can see in the visual aids. Like, even the actors couldn't pretend to care about this, which I kind of love.
Yeah.
Anyway, Donna is so useless. She can't even work a VCR. The doorbell rings. She goes to retrieve a bouquet of what Claire knows are rare sterling silver roses, which is how she's pretty sure they're not from Steve. In fact, they're for Donna. Claire comments that it's nice of David, but of course they're not from him either. They're from Donna's stalker, who signs himself her number one fan. Claire and Kelly try to talk Donna out of her fears by pointing out that she hasn't gotten a creep call in a week. And maybe they are from a genuine number one fan, but Donna angrily reminds them that the only reason the call stopped is that she changed her phone number. And now he knows where she lives, so that's not great. And in the good old student union, Donna runs into Evan and thanks him for putting some tape together for her. Rusty, the other guy, who is also present, is still a pig in clip 14.
Hey, someday I'll show you the tape I have of you. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Like, don't help. Don't misdirect. Let's just get this fucking plot over with, please.
Right. And like the subtle thing of throwing all of these potential stalker candidates into the storyline is like, men are gross. Like, it's not the best lesson for the show to be teaching. I mean, it can be true, but you know, like, is this something that teenagers really need to have thrown at them? Like, any man around you might be a predator. It's true, but this is supposed to be escapist entertainment, so I'm not really sure what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I'm not either. Here's what I do know. Whatever they're trying to do, it's taking a really long time.
God, it really is. When Rusty is fucked off, Evan asks if Donna's okay, and she brushes him off. But when she and Claire are making plans to counter-program the Super Bowl, as we already heard about, she glances up and sees Garrett, her stalker from however many seasons ago, staring at her, and this happens, clip 15.
It's him.
It's who?
Garrett. Garrett Slan.
I don't see him.
By the column. God, Claire, he was standing right there.
Maybe it was just someone that looked like him.
No, I know what he looks like. God, Claire, he nearly raped me 2 years ago. Do you think I know what he looks like?
He's in prison, Dawn.
I'm telling you that I saw him. I don't know how. I don't. I just know it now. It all makes sense to me. He's the one that's obviously been doing all these things to me.
Think about this rationally, okay? Why would Garrett Slam be sending you flowers? It makes no sense.
Forget it. Never mind. Never mind.
This is, and I do not say this lightly, absolutely the worst acting we've seen from Tori Spelling. The fact that there is this much of it is really not helping.
Yeah. I mean, I would make a case for the clip we're about to hear shortly, but yes, the scene is really bad.
They're all bad. And then the one that just keeps going with the like hugging and snuggling David and making these cow faces. Oh, it's so terrible. And it just does not stop.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to it. We're not there yet. In the middle of the night, the alarm is going off. Dawn is hysterical and too rattled to turn it off. Claire gets up and checks the back door, showing Donna there's nothing out there but the wind chimes. They'll just lock the door and go to bed. Donna orders Claire not to patronize her and refuses to go back to bed because Donna has the gift of fear. And sure enough, when she goes out to the deck, there's one more sterling silver rose on the railing. Uh-oh. And when she blearily wakes up in the morning hearing the door and then seeing a blurry male figure in her room, she freaks out, but it's only David. She should keep freaking out, to be honest. Also, this genius knows she had to change her number because of a stalker, and yet he thought this surprise was a good idea. Fuck David Silver. Oh my God, what an idiot.
Seriously, make some noise, knock first, call.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Any of those. She tells David she's been having nightmares about Garrett. David also tells her that Garrett is in prison, but she can't even dispute this without sounding like a baby in clip 16.
I think that he got out. I think that he's the one that's been calling me and coming here at night and leaving me the roses. The one that's been doing everything
Donna,
to me,
Donna,
and I think he wants to get me.
Donna,
hey. I think he wants to get me. Yeesh. Not good.
Chasing a sheep through the actor's studio. It's horrible.
I made an 8 tick of her cry faces. You can see in the visual aids. You're welcome. David decides the answer is to victim blame, saying that the weather job makes her visible and that it could be anyone at the station. But Donna says she saw Garrett at school. David says she needs to relax. First thing Monday, they'll go down to the Department of Corrections and check on Garrett. Okay. He also wants her to check the alarm system. Hey, dude, maybe why don't you take one of those things off her plate since she's already freaked out? Just a thought.
Yeah, really.
So someone followed the girls from the parking lot of the strip show to the Peach Pit after dark. And as they're leaving the party, Donna trips and leans down to pick up the contents of her purse. And this car squeals at her. It's supposed to be scary and awful, but Donna caught in the headlights is hilarious. Sorry, I made a GIF. Sorry. You can see it in the visual aids. I'm sorry, but it's funny. I'm sorry. The car swerves around her and drives off. As far as we can tell, no one tries to get the license plate number or anything, but Donna is mostly furious that no one believed her and that she has turned out to be right, apparently. And the next morning, Kelly and Claire are being really bad friends in the kitchen in clip 17.
What do you think about what Donna said? Do you think there's any chance that guy in the car is really after her?
I don't know. Either that or he was just very, very drunk. All I do know is that she seems completely fixated on that guy who tried to rape her. Which is not possible, right? Excuse me. Can I be included in this conversation, or do you want to continue to talk behind my back?
Don, we were just worried about you.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that makes three of us. Fine, go ahead. You guys can call me paranoid, but I know that there's somebody after me. And if it's not Garrett Sland, then it's somebody else.
Okay, look. We gave a car description to the police. They're going to get back to us as soon as they find anything out.
You know, until then, maybe I should stay at my parents' house while they're still in Europe. And you guys don't have to be burdened by my fixations.
She's right. They are really being shitty. Kelly, I expect this from. Claire should be more sensitive.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, Donna is being such a dumb baby about everything. Like, I don't think she told them about that last rose. She's right. Not really apparently taking any precautions except for True. Freaking out, like not to victim blame. Obviously it's not on her, but like, sure, I'll just go to my, like, if he found your current apartment, he can find your parents.
Yeah.
In the, like in their big empty house, that's going to protect you. Cause it's big. Why are you so stupid? Oh, she's the worst. Like, it's really hard to sympathize with any of this because it's dragging on. She's being super annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd sort of rather make this point to her roommates than actually, like, you need to be around people so yeah. that they can take care of you. Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
She doesn't
like, this
die,
guy-
so who cares? But really.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, whoever it is has obviously been following her. Like, we've seen that already at the strip club. But, like, you know, whoever it is could probably follow her to David's house, too. But at least, as you say, there would be two other people there because Tom is still there, as far as we know.
Exactly.
Anyway, at the Peach Pit later, Claire and Kelly get talked into staying at the Walsh house until the stalker threat blows over. And then Donna comes in with a stack of her parents' mail, including a letter for her in our final clip.
Department of Corrections. Oh, God. Oh, God, David!
Donna, what's the matter?
I'm trying to tell you and you guys didn't believe me. Look at this letter. Look at the date.
Slan was released 2 weeks ago.
That's when it all started. He's out.
Spoiler, he did not win an Emmy for any of this bleating.
I can't even do whatever her terrible, squealy, bad, scared noises. She's not good.
No.
Like, you wouldn't think that playing this tragedy storyline would be worse than the comedy, and yet here we are.
That's
anyway.
What I said. I long for heeing.
Yeah, maybe that was the point, to make us want that back. Anyway.
Maybe.
That's it for this episode. Who is the MVP?
Sarah. Let's go with Tom.
Yeah. Came through with another success at the club. I'm going to say Steve because of the sewing bean scene, which I will treasure forever.
That is legit.
And an honorary mention to honorable mention to his pince-nez. Least valuable player. I mean, Donna. The stalker, obviously, but since we don't know who that is, I'm going to say David, the stalker understudy, busting in on Donna when she's just waking up.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, he's bad. He also has ridiculous hair again in this episode. Why?
All right. Finally, a user submitted challenge. from at Jillian Mallory on Twitter. Five things from this episode that are actually shorter than Brandon. the stack of mail from Donna's parents' house. Barely.
The hay bale he manages to lift, even though he's wee, and tries to throw at Sam.
the felt football patches that get sewn onto the t-shirts, shorter than Brandon.
Donna's skirt, probably, because they usually are.
And both of your patience with Tori Spelling's acting.
Very nice.
There it is.
We did it.
Next time on Again With This, the dick measuring continues. Yay. When Kelly goes after Tom, and Tom and Brandon have a hockey showdown, somehow this prompts Tracy, for some reason, to tell the guy who's been obvious second-choicing her all season that she loves him. Also, Donna's dumb stalker storyline enters its eighth year. Who cares? You'll be stalking the Maalox aisle at Costco when you get a load of the visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This. You can find those on our website at previously.tv. You can find that website on Twitter at previouslyTV, and you can find this very podcast on Twitter at AWT90210. I am colicky mayor Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Special Agent Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. Our producer is Pom Pom Girl David T. Cole. He's on Twitter at Clark. Talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
Hey, Sarah, when was the last time you were at Costco?
Oh.
Because I don't know how to tell you this, but there's no Maalox aisle at Costco anymore.
They have Maalox at Costco.
They sure do.
But not a whole aisle of it.
I'm not sure about
really?
That.
Really? You're going to be that guy? Actually, there's no Maalox aisle at Costco.
I don't think there's Maalox at Costco.
I do. I bet there is. In the drugstore.
Like whatever. Kirkland. Yeah, anti-gas, whatever the fuck
K-Lox.
It's called. K-Lox. Bolox.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.